Chapter 14. The Testing of Bjorn. Mountain silence fills the soul. It is a potent form of quiet. Through the absence of sound, the animus of a place can be felt. In the mountains, the soul of the living can touch the soul of the earth, the sky, the rock. Bjorn liked the silence, and sought it out when not at war. No ale song or boasting sullied the mountainsides. They sang their own songs, of wind through trees and water on stone, of creaking ice and shifting rock. Trees groaned, animals called. No man's voice could be heard in the mountains of Azaheim, and Bjorn liked it that way. He did not like the silence of the crack guard on that stifling summer's day. The chants of the goatee were done. The weight of the mountain at his back pressed on him, as if a warrior offered silent challenge and waited for him to turn around to knock his head in with his axe. The hairs on the back of his neck stood to attention. Wind blew around the collar of his leather suit, stirring them. He waited tensely in anticipation of the blow. There was nothing behind him. It was a fanciful thought, too close to fear. Nevertheless, Bjorn felt him, the man who would end his life. He had the impression, if he strained his ears only a little more, he would hear his heartbeat, his hungering breath. It was as if Morkai himself stared at his back. The sensation fled at the first notice of Leman Russ's approach. Footsteps rasped heavily in scree. Stones skittered down the slope behind the Primarch's progress. He smelled broken stone and post-human sweat. He came from the left-hand side. Why did he not use the stairs?
"I have returned, Bjorn of Tra," said Leman Russ. "You are alone, my lord." "I am. Look upon me." "I cannot," said Bjorn. "The goatee forbade it, I recall." "Where are they?" asked Russ. "The goatee are dead," said Bjorn. "How?" asked Russ. "I heard," said Bjorn. "Then tell me what you heard."
Leman Russ paused at the edge of the circle, around Bjorn's sentry place. His presence was almost as awful as the non-thing that had been staring at his back this last hour. Bjorn stared straight ahead. This was important. He must formulate the words right.
"Eight times I heard the cries of the dead and the battle chants of lost tribes. Eight times I heard an attack. Eight times I heard the ring of steel on steel. And then it stopped. When the goatee's chant began again, Halvar Flintdrake's voice was silent."
Russ crunched over the gravel to stand near him. Still, he remained outside the circle of wolf skulls. Still, Bjorn did not turn to look at him.
"And then, what did you hear?"
"I heard the screams of fiends," Bjorn said. "Eight times, fell voices shrieking ruin. Eight times I heard them wail. Eight times I heard them fall silent. And when the goatee again sang, the weird make, Aka Akinson, the snowmaker, did not speak."
"What came after?" asked Russ.
"Thereafter there were eight earthquakes, which shook the rock upon which I sit. Still I did not look back. The earth ground and rumbled. Eight times the goatee spoke their words of power. When the shaking was done, wise Gimfulfor did not raise his voice. Then came eight blasts of wind, so strong they lifted me from this rock, and I bloodied my fingers clinging to the boulder's skin. When they were done, Edun Balthansbane was silent. To eight strikes of lightning, Geron Horos was lost. Edrid, to eight storms of laughter."
"What of Kovar?"
"Seven times I heard a great wolf howl. Each time it did, I heard the sounds of fighting. and tasted witchery on the breeze. Each time it stopped, I thought the world would end, and Morkai had ascended the slopes of the dead to run amok in the land of the living. Each time, when I thought it done, it began again. Maleficarum worked upon me, urging me to turn around. Voices whispered to me, pleading that if I were to go to their aid, I would save the two who remained.
You ignored them?
Yes, I was ordered, said Bjorn. So I remained. At the eighth howling, Kvar cried out. The wolf was gone. Thandar Greymane was silent, but the chant began again.
Kvar chanted still.
The divided one was there until the end, said Bjorn. Seven ice tempests he fought away, chanting all the while. The eighth ended him. After he was silent, something lingered, standing where you are now.
You have done well. I lift the banner of the priests. My task is done. You may turn around.
So closely did the voice resemble Russ's that Bjorn almost obeyed. He was already turning when he stopped himself. Bjorn's heart froze with foreboding. Why had the Primarch not used the stair? Why did he not enter the circle?
I was told not to look back into the glen, he said warily, under any circumstances. I gave an oath. You cannot make me break it, my Jarl.
You would deny your Primarch,
said Russ. His voice wavered, taking on an inhuman timbre.
I would deny him this. You are not he.
Russ moved around the outside of the wolfskull circle. Only it was not Russ. Bjorn was sure of that. His scent was wrong. Everything was wrong.
How dare you defy me, cripple, said the voice.
It cast aside all pretense, becoming a chorus of wet growls that mimicked speech.
I'm your Primarch, your lord, your father.
The heavy stink of fur crusted with old blood washed over Bjorn, a wolf smell, but sick. The being came within the circle then, and as it stepped over the low wall, the wolf skulls exploded, peppering Bjorn with sharp fragments. It approached Bjorn from behind. A hand landed on his shoulder. It was barely human. Fur sprouted from its thick, short fingers. The thumb was too far back, diminished, halfway to a dew claw.
Turn and face your master.
You are not my master. You are not my father. You are Maleficarum, and I will not turn to look upon you.
The thing laughed, each exhalation dropping an octave until the stone Bjorn sat upon vibrated with subsonic resonance. Bjorn glanced down at the stub of his left arm. If he were in his battle plate, he might stand a chance. He could gut this thing with his lightning claw. He had seen the Neverborn killed, but he was not. He was in his ritual leather armor. All he had was his plain iron sword. His hand closed around the hilt, and he prepared to sell himself dearly.
Then you will die,
it said. The blunt claws scraped over Bjorn's shoulder, furrowing the leather. A rope of drool slid from the air over his head and landed upon his cheek. Hot breath caressed his skin. Bjorn tensed.
One-handed,
a voice bellowed from the steps below the vigil place.
Down!
Bjorn threw himself forwards as the beast struck at him. Something sharp opened the skin of his back. A blade thrummed into the circle. It hit the thing behind him with the meaty kiss of steel parting flesh. A disruptor field boomed. Bjorn choked on smoke of such foulness he thought he would die. A demonic howl of outrage echoed from the Volda Hamarki. A second later, he was being hauled to his feet. Leman Russ had returned. He was singed, his hair burnt back and eyebrows curled. His face was red from fire and lips chapped from cold. He was bloodied, his clothes torn. A weapon slit parted the fabric and leather covering his chest over his primary heart, and his gear was drenched in blood. But it was him. Without thinking, Bjorn made to look at his assailant. Russ grabbed his shoulder.
Don't look behind you, remember, he said.
He reached past Bjorn and pulled out the Emperor's spear.
What was it? Said Bjorn.
Best not to see, said Russ, looking past him.
It is a non-thing, a corrupt wight. One of those beings referred to as the Neverborn. A demon.
He was thoughtful.
A word we must learn to take seriously.
You used the Emperor's spear?
I did, said Russ.
He smiled as he hefted it. A crust of black blood had formed on the blade, baked hard by the weapon's power field.
For all its bad weird, it is a well-balanced weapon. That was a good throw.
It was.
Bjorn took in Russ's wounds.
You are injured. In the Underverse. Kavar said there was a price.
Russ waved his concerns away.
I paid it, and now I know how to hurt Horus.
Russ did not say beat. Bjorn noted that well. There was something about the Primarch that was different. Bjorn's eyes flicked over his face. He was behaving as he always did, brash, carefree, bold, but under his eyes were new purplish smears, and he looked... How did he look? Thought Bjorn. Haunted. That was the only word that fit how he looked.
I found myself upon the steps. Where are the Goti? Asked Russ. They will not be joining us, said Bjorn. They sleep on the red snow. The manner of their death?
Heroic, said Bjorn simply.
We will go to them and see what can be done to honor them in death, said Russ. I cannot, said Bjorn. It is forbidden. Yes, you can, said Russ. Just keep your eyes closed.
Russ led the way back down into the glen. Russ bound Bjorn's eyes over with a strip torn from his own shirt, and the Primarch led him by the arm down the steps. Russ could see Bjorn's assessment was correct as soon as the circle came in sight. The Goti were all dead. The stony ground was torn up as if ploughed and drenched in blood. Strange weapons were strewn around, though there were no corpses except those of the dead rune priests. Some of them were battered beyond recognition, their ritual suits ripped open, and flesh stamped into the churned earth. Something towards the end had flash-frozen the corpses. Kavar's body was more intact than most. He lay with his eyes and mouth open, his body encased in a sleeve of melting ice shot through with ribbons of blood. The ice was already beginning to run in the savage summer's heat. Nearby lay Kavar's twin guardians. Sharing flesh as they had before their birth, they were mashed into a single mass. The Grand Menhir was blackened and tilted to one side. Paler stone showed where it had been forced partially from the ground. A crack ran across the middle, close to breaking it in two. Bjorn sniffed at the air.
Stinks, doesn't it? Said Russ. Magic and desperation. Like Prospero.
He shook his head.
We use the weapons of the enemy at our peril. But I don't see any other choice. Kavar warned you, said Bjorn. And now he is dead. He did. So did Malkador and Constantine Valdor. They were all right. I have what I need. But at such cost...
He stopped himself, saying something he would regret.
This place, he said suddenly. It must be destroyed. It is tainted. Fell things move here. The barrier between warp and world has thinned. You shall burn it, said Bjorn. No, my son, said Russ. That will not be nearly enough. The crack guard must be remade, and the hell road through Sitir's door closed. That way will not be safe to use again, he growled. Another task for a later day. We have much to do before.
Russ touched the ice covering Kavar's face. It was slippery with running water.
Until next winter, he said.